الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، ومن عصاني فقد أبى. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as we are well aware, we are very, very fast encroaching upon what is a very, very blessed and a mubarak time of the year, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. Regards to this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said: مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أحب إلى الله تعالى من هذه الأيام، يعني أيام العشر. He said, there are no days. There are no days. This is literal translation. ما من أيام. There are no days in the entire Islamic calendar that good deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala used to say, بِكُلِّ يَوْمْ أَلْفْ يَوْمْ. He used to say, every one of these 10 days, the good deeds that you will do in them are equivalent to the ibadat of 1,000 days. وَيَوْمُ عَرَفَ عَشْرَةُ آلَافْ أَيَّامْ. And the 9th of Zulhijjah, the day of Arafah, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala used to say that the good deeds that you will do on the day of Arafah is equivalent to the ibadat of 10,000 days. So this is a very, very mubarak period of the year. We mentioned a few Jummas ago, and we have been discussing that this is a manifest display or a manifest indication of the extreme mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we were given one season, the month of Ramadan, and immediately after that, Allah ta'ala gave us another season, another chance, another opportunity. That is the Ayyamul Hajj, the days of Hajj. I've mentioned previously on a few Jummas we discussed, when it comes to Hajj, Allah Ta'ala, the other pillars of Islam in the Quran, the benefits behind those pillars of Islam, whether it be Salah, whether it be Zakat, whether it be fasting, we find very limited benefits are mentioned specifically in the Quran. For example, when it comes to salah, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. If salah is performed correctly, Allah's promise in the Quran, fahsha, lewdness, shamelessness. Salah performed correctly will cleanse you of this. Wal munkar, haram, breaking Allah Ta'ala's command. A person will get the taqwiyat and the strength to bring his life onto Shariat and Deen if he will make his Salah properly. This is promised in the Quran. Likewise, When it comes to fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, the promised prize of fasting that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran is that Allah will give you taqwa, Allah will give you piety. Taqwa, easiest way to explain what is taqwa, you pick up a translation, you pick up a commentary, piety, fear of Allah Ta'ala, various different interpretations ulama give. One very simple explanation which one alim gives, he says, if you're going to the shop to buy a packet of chips and the packet of chips costs 10 rand and you got 10 rand in your pocket, then you can clearly claim, openly claim, that I have the means to acquire what I want. So what is taqwa? The inner spiritual power and strength to obey Allah's command and to stay away from that which Allah made haram. That is taqwa. Through fasting, in the Quran, Allah promises that you will get that. When it comes to Hajj, the fifth pillar of Islam, these days are the days of Hajj. Here, very beautifully, Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention one benefit of Hajj. Allah says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. This is the eloquence of Quran. Allah doesn't say you will experience through Hajj many benefits. What does Allah say? لِيَشْهَدُوا. The word yashhadu comes from shahadat. Shahid means present. Shahid means a witness. Shahid is emphasis that don't doubt this. We have kept an ocean of benefits in Hajj. Amongst the benefits of Hajj, we discussed a few previously. Amongst the benefits of Hajj, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says that through this fifth pillar of Islam, the takmeel, the perfection, the culmination, the completion of our deen occurred through Hajj. Once the Jews approached Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar, many times before I've mentioned this, this is that personality who Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is his piety, his taqwa. The other is the very, very deep understanding, faqahat, comprehension of deen, which Allah blessed Umar with. In fact, that's another topic on its own. We're not going to go into the details. But the muarrikhin, the historians, have enumerated up to 15 occasions. 15 occasions. When Umar desired something, suggested something, felt something would be appropriate, and after Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, or put forward this opinion, I think it should be like this. After that, Quran came down in support of the opinion of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Not once or twice, this was, muarrikhin have enumerated up to 15 occasions like this. This is that personality where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. That kind of intelligence, that kind of perception, that kind of understanding. So the Jews, one Jew comes to him, Ayatun fi kitabikum. Lo alayna ma'ashar al-yahud nazal, lattakhadna thalika al-yawm eida. He said, Umar, there is one verse in your kitab, in your Quran. If this verse had to be revealed upon us, the Jews, then we would have made the day of its revelation a day of Eid, annual celebration. In other words, the import of this verse, the message behind it, the great veneration and honor that this verse signifies. The Jews said, if we had received such a verse, this would have been a day of Eid for us every year. Umar Obviously, who is he saying this? He's saying this to that personality who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. So without hesitation, Umar says, I know exactly the verse that you are referring to. I know the time of its revelation. It was Asr. It was the day of Arafah. Arafah is an Eid for us. Arafah is an Eid. One is the Haji who is on the plains of Arafah. The other is the rest of the Ummat, who for whatever reason couldn't go for Hajj that year, but fast. Fast on the day of Arafah. And what will happen? One, the last year's sins and the next year's sins Allah forgives. Amal of Arafah, as we mentioned, is equivalent to 10,000 days of Ibadat. So what greater Eid is this? There is no other day in the year. There is no other day in the year that shaitan is more disgraced than the day of Arafah. There is no day in the year that Allah frees more souls from Jahannam than the day of Arafah. This is such a day. So Umar says, I know the day that you are referring to. It was Asr Salah. My Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was on his camel Adba. Jibreel came down with this verse. Sahaba say, such was the weight of this verse that the back of the camel almost broke. It could not take the weight of this verse. What verse I am referring to? Allama Ghazali rahimahullah says, this verse constitutes the culmination, the completion of deen. I recited it in the khutbah in the beginning. Al-yawm. Al-yawm. Allahu Akbar. This is the fasahat and eloquence of Quran. It's unfortunate. It's impossible to do justice explaining the import, explaining the beauty that is contained in this type of expression. Al-yawm. Today. In other words, when did Adam alayhi salam come? How many thousands of years? How many thousands of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam? How many different shariats? How many different revealed books? Aeons, centuries of time, of qurbani, of sacrifice, of hardship, of difficulty. Allah is the goal. Akhirat is the goal. Jannat is the goal. Shariat upon shariat. Nabi upon Nabi, way of life upon way of life, code of conduct upon code of conduct. Thousands of years pass. And finally, in Arafah, 9th of Zulhijjah, Hajjatul Wada of Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah openly declares the culmination, the pinnacle, the height, the completion, the perfection of what transpired and what evolved over thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Finally, Allah says, Al-yawm, today, akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today, your deen has reached kamal. Your deen has reached perfection. Your deen has reached culmination. Your deen has reached completion. أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. Tamam. Kamal. Tamam. These are in themselves comprehensive expressions of Quran. In other words, a door is closing. A door is closing. A seal is being placed. That be warned. Be cautioned. O Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be warned, be cautioned, O humanity, that after today, no change, no interpolation, no adulteration will be tolerated. Today, this is the highest, this is the most perfect, this is the most beautiful. There is no other way. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. After today, you want Allah, you want Jannat, you want the pleasure of Allah, you want the love of Allah, you want success in dunya, qabr and akhirat.
know and understand. Kaan khol kar sun lena. Listen with open ears. Listen with open heart.
If you want this, there is no other way that is going to be tolerated or accepted besides Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what this verse means.
Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Deen has reached kamal. Atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. My ni'mat and my bounties have reached perfection, height, culmination, completion. Wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Radha of Allah, pleasure of Allah is restricted, confined now to one thing and one thing only, and that is Deen-e-Islam. And what is Deen-e-Islam? What is Deen-e-Islam? This, unfortunately, the enemies of Islam, the Dajjaloon, the Kadhaboon, throughout the ages, this has been their target, to confuse you and I. To confuse you and I, sometimes under the guise of deen, to confuse you and I as to what is Deen-e-Islam. Islam is the Quran. Islam is the physical manifestation of the Quran. And that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His day, his night, his way of life. And understand, my respected brothers, throughout the ages, and particularly in recent times with the internet, with social media, with the so-called explosion of unnecessary information that is bombarding us from every direction, there is this drive of the enemies of Islam to distance us from the pure Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All sorts of convoluted theories and ideologies are being put forward. Quran is preserved, hadith is not preserved. We are Quraniyun, we are going to follow the Quran under the guise of deen. And behind it is what? Behind it is this drive to distance us from Sunnah, from the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imran bin Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala, and this didn't start now, I'm digressing, but this is by way of example, I'm touching on one incident. In Kufa, in the masjid of Kufa, Imran bin Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is explaining hadith, explaining something that he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One individual walks into the masjid, addresses him and says, don't waste my time with hadith. Don't waste my time with what you heard from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell me about the Quran. Tell me what is in the Quran. Quran is absolutely authentic. Allahu Akbar. The Sahabi's face changes. His cheeks become inflamed, red with anger. Ya Ahmak! He says, you fool! Or in our translation, you idiot! Ya Ahmak! How many rakats in your salah? How to make wudu? How to perform your hajj? Where is it in the Quran? The Quran tells you make salah. Zuhr is 4 rakats silent. Isha is 4 rakats, 2 the imam reads loudly, then 2 silent. Where in the Quran is this? Wudu, the faraiz of wudu, the nawafil of wudu, where is it in the Quran? When it comes to hajj, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khudu anni manasikakum. Khudu anni manasikakum. Quran commands you with hajj. How is hajj made? What is the procedure of hajj? Khudu anni manasikakum. My Nabi said, learn from my hajj. Take from me the rites of your hajj. 100 Mufassireen have enumerated 100 verses in the Quran. The meaning behind those 100 verses is that if you will move away from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no Islam, there is no deen, there is no Quran. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let them know who will move away from your way of life, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will be the target of fitna. They will be the target of trial and tribulation and humiliation in this world. And still, if they will not come back to sunnah, adabun alim, they will have to face a terrible punishment in the year after. Many places in the Quran, Allah commands us, obey Allah. There is no way in the Quran where Allah commands you only obey Allah. May yuti'i Allah wa Rasul. May yuti'i Allah wa Rasul. May yuti'i Allah wa Rasul. Allah, when He commands you, obey Allah. With that, it is linked. Obey Allah. Obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then beautifully, in one place, what does Allah say? Wa may yuti'i Rasul faqad ata'a Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. The one who has obeyed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has obeyed Allah. It is impossible. It is impossible that in more than 100 verses in the Quran, Allah will command you and I to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah has not put into place that system. Like Quran is preserved in exactly the same way, Allah has put into place an unshakable system by which every aspect of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been preserved. This does not even make sense. It is illogical that someone born in a desert 14 centuries ago in the most backward nation of the time, every aspect of his existence recorded, meticulous details. Jummah, it's impossible to go into details, but just way of example. When my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be sad, how would you know that he was sad? Even to that extent, meticulous detail, Sahaba described that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sad, he would place his right hand on his right cheek and drop his head like this. So if they saw this, they knew that something had saddened Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes he would hold his beard, drop his head like this when he is sad. That extent, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset or angry with someone, it's not like you and I. When we become angry, start shouting and start screaming. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, if he is upset for whatever reason with Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Anas is coming from that direction, my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he noticed Anas coming from that direction and he was upset with Anas for whatever reason, and understand, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam never took revenge, never exhibited his anger for personal reasons. لَن تَصَرَ لِنَفْسِهِ وَلَا يَغْضَبُ لَهَا. Aisha, the riwayat is clear. She says, radiallahu anha, he never became angry for anything personal. He never exacted revenge or punished or hit out for anything personal. If he was upset, it was something to do with Shariat and Deen. For whatever reason, I'm coming back to the example. Anas is coming from the right hand side. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is upset or angry with him. What he would do? He would look towards the left hand side. He would just turn his face away. Abu Huraira is coming from the left. My Nabi sees him coming. Radiallahu anhu, for whatever reason, he's upset with him. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would turn his face in the other direction. That is all. Not like you and I, become enraged, become angry, become inflamed. How would they know that he is angry? That also, azajjul khawajir, sawabir, baynahuma irqun, yudirruhul ghadab. The eyelashes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are described in the hadith in Tirmizi Sharif. The eyebrows were curved, they were arched. بَيْنَهُمَا مِنْ غَيْرِ قَرْنٍ. They would not meet in the center. In the center there was a gap. And in that gap there was a vein. Obviously Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to suppress his anger. So it, being insan, the anger had to show itself in some way. So what Sahaba described, yudirruhul ghadab, this vein that was between his eyebrows, it would pop out when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset or angry about something. When my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy, he was an open book. Sahaba say, kaannama fuqiya fi wajhi habbatur rumman. It was almost as if pomegranate juice had been sprinkled on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His cheeks would become red. His cheeks would become noor, light would come from the cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was happy. If someone called him, Allahu Akbar. You and I, someone has to call us. Someone we give some sort of respect to, or we give decorum to, we might turn in that direction, look in that direction. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it was a slave, whether it was a rich person, whether it was a poor person, maybe somebody on the lowest rung of social status, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the protocol that he would give to each individual, if someone called him, he would turn his entire body in the direction of that person and give complete attention to that person. This was the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Coming back to what we were saying, 14 centuries have passed. This is just by way of example. My Nabi in his life had 10 goats. 9 of them, she goats. Their names recorded: Ajwa, Suqya, Zamzam, Baraka, Waratha, Itlal, Itraf, Ghaitha, Kamra. Kamra passed away in his lifetime. That also recorded. One male goat, the name recorded, Yum. He had 2 donkeys, Uthair, Yafur, the names recorded. 2 mules he rode in his life, their names recorded, Fidda, Duldul. 4 she camels Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam rode. We heard the riwayat of Sayyidina Umar, Qaswa, he was riding on the plains of Arafah. Like that, Jada, Adba, Shahba, their names recorded. 2 male camels, Thalab, Askar, the names recorded. In the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the horses that he rode were Sijil, Murtajir, Murtajil, Lidaz, Tirab, Ya'sur, Ya'bub, Ya'fur, their names recorded. Meticulous details. Meticulous details. Every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such is the connection between Habib and Mahbub, between Allah and his beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that a fortress has been erected around every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that it can be the camel age, it can be the space age, it can be any age or any era. No matter how far mankind may advance technologically or scientifically, whether they walk on the moon or Mars, understand, 14 centuries ago and today, and if Allah keeps this world going for another 14,000 centuries, there is only one road to success. There is only one ideology, one way of life, one formula, and that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you want to understand what is devotion to Sunnah, we have to turn the clock back. 2 or 3 examples I'm going to give to make us understand. Unfortunately, today There's a lot of enlightened thinkers. This is a contemporary age. Somebody will come up, Maulana Sheikh, tell me something Sunnah. Is this Sunnah? Why is he asking the question? One, Sahaba's attitude towards this. One, your and my attitude. Is it Sunnah? Why is he asking? Allah forgive us today. Today, the motivation behind the question, is it Sunnah? In other words, it's not farz, it's not wajib, so it's okay to leave it out. Many times before I've mentioned this, ulama say, to utter this, or to even entertain this idea, that it is okay to leave something out. With this mindset, it is only sunnah. It is only sunnah. Ulama say, the insult that is contained in this expression is a worse sin than the destruction of the seven heavens and the seven earths put together. That Nabi finished himself for us. Everything was placed on the mantle of Qurbani and sacrifice for you and I. An indication of devotion and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand, my respected brothers, is love and reverence of sunnah. Take the example. First example I'm giving, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and his credentials we don't even have to mention. This is that personality, not one occasion, many occasions, many occasions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jannati, Jannati, Jannati. Yet what does Abu Bakr say? I'm going to literally translate, time is limited. He said, Lastu tarikan shay'an. Lastu tarikan shay'an. Kana ya'malu bihi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Illa amiltu bihi inni an akhsha. In taraktu shay'an min amrihi an azir. Who is saying this? Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Literal translation. He said, I will never leave out any action that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. I will never leave out any action that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, except that I will bring it into my life. Why? Listen with the ears of iman. Who is saying this? Abu Bakr. Ulama say the iman of the whole ummah after sahaba, after anbiya put on one side, the iman of Abu Bakr was greater than the iman of the entire ummah. He says, I fear that if I demean or regard as insignificant even one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will go astray. Who is saying this? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu faced the Hajar-e-Aswad. And he said to the Hajar-e-Aswad, you are a stone. La tanfa wa la tadur. You cannot benefit me, you cannot harm me. I take an oath on Allah. If I did not see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissing you, I would never have kissed you. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one occasion, a garment of white cloth is brought to him, presented to him. Look at how their lives were colored with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what beautiful jewels and gems Allah has kept in adherence to sunnah. Umar is presented with a new garment. What does he do? He puts it on and he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of wearing a garment, he said, Alhamdulillah, alladhi kasani ma uwari bihi awrati wa atajammalu bihi fi hayati. Immediately, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dua that my Nabi read, all praise is due to Allah who has given me this clothing by which I can cover my private parts and by which Allah will give me beautification in life. Then Umar takes off, after having removed the old garment, looks for a poor person, presents it to him, and he says, I have heard from my Habib, my master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min abdin muslim, no Muslim person takes off his old clothes and gives it to a poor person, illa kana fi khirzillah, wa fi jiwarillah, wa fi dhamanillah, ma kanat alayhi minha silk, hayyan aw mayyita, except that through this act of charity, he will be in the protection of Allah, in the safety of Allah, in the guardianship of Allah, as long as one cotton thread of that old garment remains on the body of that poor person whom he gave it to, whether the person who gave it is living or dead. Like that, there is a wealth of sunnah, a wealth of du'as, a wealth of incidents we learn. Sahaba's lives were the extent to which they showed their devotion to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Osman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the occasion of Hudaybiyah, enters Makkah as the emissary of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aban, his relative, says to him, Osman, what has happened to you? Why is your clothing so high? Today we feel it difficult to keep our clothing above the ankles. Today you'll get that contemporary Muslim walks into the masjid. What does he do? Just for the salah, folds his pants. After salah, the pants is gone below, beneath the ankle. Why? It is only sunnah. It is only sunnah. My heart is free of pride. All sorts of things. This is Osman. And who is Osman? Who is Osman? Allahu Akbar. Inna li kulli nabiyin rafiqun fil jannah. Anta rafiqi fil jannah, ya Osman. Oh Osman, every Nabi will have a special friend in Jannah. My friend in Jannah is you, Osman. That kind of basharat. Enters Makkah, Aban says, are you going to be like the poor? Are you going to be like our slaves? Your clothing is sitting so high. Why don't you put it lower? It was a sign of pride. It was a sign of prominence to have their clothing hanging low. Osman says, Allahu Akbar. Hakada. Listen with the ears of Iman. This is sabak of Iman. This is what we have to learn. Hakada. Ya'taziru sahibuna ila ansafi saqi. He says to Aban, this length of my clothing, halfway between my knee and my ankle, is what I have observed from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he goes on, inna la nasna'u shay'an hatta yasna'u sahibuna. We do not, we the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do not do anything unless we observe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing it. وَنَتَّبِيُ أَثَرًا. And then blindly, without question, we follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are not ordinary sahaba. Glad tidings upon glad tidings of Jannah. Yet, meticulously, in every aspect of their life. Take the example of Sayyidina Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. One day somebody brings a melon in front of him. He looks at the melon from the right side, from the left side. Tears enter the eyes. He gives it back to the person. The person says, Imam Sahab, why don't you eat this melon? Allahu Akbar. He says, I cannot find any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My Nabi never ate a melon in his life. So I don't know if I must cut it from the left side. I don't know if I must cut it from the right side. Was it haram? Was it forbidden? Was it makruh? No! I can't find an example of this in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we call Ashiqana Islam. Today our Islam has become an Islam of jurisprudence. Nafil, wajib, farz when it suits us. Established or not established. One is Islam of jurisprudence. One is Islam of ishq and muhabbat. Love and devotion. Then Abu Bakr, and on this I will terminate, I'll run out of time. Allahu Akbar. It's a question of dispatching one jamaat. What does Abu Bakr say? La an aqa'u min as-sama ahabba ilayya min an at. Allahu Akbar. He said, I will tolerate that I be flung from the heavens, I be flung from the sky, and I meet my death and destruction, but I will not abandon one command of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We want Allah, we want Jannah, we want Akhirat. Any age, any era, come out of this deception. Allah has put a fortress along the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the road to Hidayat. This is the road to Jannah. This is the road to Allah. This is the road to the love of Allah. That drown yourself, color yourself, mold yourself in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana.